Hello and welcome to my podcast. My name is Peter Doherty. I'm a Catholic priest and a psychologist who integrates my training in psychology and scripture studies to help understand the Gospels and seek out new pastoral teachings for Christians in these modern times. Today's podcast is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 35 to 48. This story follows the account of the disciples meeting Jesus on the road to Emmaus. In the previous gospel, the disciples realized that when they broke bread together, that it was Jesus himself who had joined them on the road to Emmaus and discussed the scriptures with them. I have 2 points from this gospel that I want to focus on. This is a resurrection story. Jesus is revealed at the breaking of the bread to the disciples. Likely, we are seeing the beginning of the disciples' understanding of the Eucharist. There are many stories in which Jesus is revealed in people in various communities. I am proposing that the aspect of community in our faith may be more important than we realize. I want to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, where Jesus promises, "When two or more are gathered in my name, I am there." The second scripture passage that I want to draw your attention to is the well-known story of the wedding feast at Cana, where Jesus made over 360 gallons of wine. It's quite a story. What is often overlooked is the fact that Jesus was there with his mother, but also with his disciples. Jesus indicated that it was not yet his time. So even before Jesus had performed miracles or began teaching, he had disciples. He was building community. Jesus makes it clear that community has a significant role to play in our faith. This lesson is caught up with John Donne in his famous quote from Devotions Upon Emergent Occasions that was written in 1624, where John Donne says, "No man is an island." This highlights the theme that we are all in this together. I am beginning to realize that being in a community can help mature our faith. I don't believe it is an accident that Jesus appeared to individuals, but also to groups. This is an important point, especially for Western cultures, in which there's a strong focus on individual achievement. I know that living community is not always easy. It was no different in the early church, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles and the letters from Paul to the early Christian communities, many instances where he had to admonish them for their divisions and judgmental attitudes. Sound familiar? Check out St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 28 to 29. There was plenty of conflict in the early church, as there is today. I am left wondering that it is by dealing with these differences and conflicts our faith matures. Living your faith won't always be easy. It's one thing to suffer for the church. It's another to suffer at the hands of the church. I will dare to say that it is within this suffering an opportunity for spiritual growth may be present. I am not suggesting we seek out suffering for spiritual growth. Suffering will find us. But when it does, we will do well to reflect on the lessons that suffering offers us. Community is good for your mental health. Research has shown that significant associations between social relationships and mental health. An individual's positive sense of community is associated with reduced symptoms of depression, anxiety, and stress. McMillan and Chauvis, in their 1986 article, Sense of Community, A Definition and Theory, found in the Journal of Community Psychology, proposes that community provides a feeling of belonging, a feeling that members matter to one another and to the group, and a shared faith that members' needs will be met through their commitment together. This environment provides a rich soil for faith to grow. The second point I want to draw your attention to is in today's gospel, when Jesus reappears to his disciples, he greets them with the words, "Peace be with you." Once again, Jesus is affirming the call to be a people of peace. We see that Luke is making it noticeably clear Jesus was not a ghost. Apparently, many people thought that Jesus had not risen from the dead and the disciples were simply seeing a ghost. The disciples can touch his wounds and witness him eating. That were clear signs that Jesus was not a ghost. Jesus then opens their minds to understand the scriptures. I am sure they would have a different understanding of the scriptures after witnessing the resurrection. Likely, many things that Jesus had said during his lifetime were not fully understood. I often see this when I'm working with adults who are dealing with past experiences involving their parents. Often they understand better why their parents did what they did now that they are adults. Sadly, though, this revelation often comes after the parents have died. The adult children don't always agree with what their parents did, but they have gained an understanding through their own experiences. Jesus focuses on repentance and forgiveness. We hear much about repentance. Repentance is not only about conversion, but a change in actions and life directions. Repentance is taking ownership of our mistakes and actively bringing about change in our life. I wonder if there's a reason why repentance and forgiveness would be linked together in this scripture story. So in response to God's call, I urge you to look at how you can become more forgiving in your life. I know this is challenging. One way to get more comfortable with forgiveness is to practice small acts in everyday life. Thus says Dr. Tyler Vanderwill, who is co-director of the Initiative on Health, Religion, and Spirituality at the Harvard School of Public Health. Practicing forgiveness can have powerful health benefits. Observational studies and even some randomized research trials have shown that forgiveness is associated with lower levels of depression, anxiety, and hostility, reduced substance abuse, higher levels of self-esteem, and greater life self-satisfaction. Yet, forgiving people is not always easy, but it's ultimately worth it. Studies have shown that the act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health, lowering the risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol levels, and improving sleep quality, and reducing pain, blood pressure, anxiety, depression, and stress. Also, research points out that an increase in forgiveness, the forgiveness health connection, increases as you age. There is an enormous physical burden to being hurt and disappointed, says Dr. Karen Schwartz, director of the Mood Disorders Adult Consultation Clinic at the Johns Hopkins Hospital. Chronic anger puts you in a fight or flight mode, which results in numerous changes in heart rate, blood pressure, and immune response. Those changes then increase the risk of depression, heart disease, and diabetes, among other conditions. Forgiveness, however, calms stress levels and leading to improved health. Wanting to forgive and being able to forgive is not always the same. I urge readers to listen to earlier podcasts for insights into forgiveness actions. To help my readers further, I'll be presenting a short mini-series on the topic of forgiveness in the fall. Please join us if you can. Thank you for listening. I invite you to join me next week when I examine the Gospel of John, who describes Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Jesus speaks of knowing his people and his willingness to lay down his life for his people. If this is the first time you've heard my podcast and you are interested in hearing more, I urge you to listen to my podcasts listed on the website. Every Sunday, I release a new podcast focusing on the Gospel for the following week. I invite you to listen to all the podcasts, and I hope the reflections are useful to you. The link is https://a_psychologist_looks_at_scripture.buzzsprout.com. I would also like to take this opportunity to welcome Heather Patel Doherty, who, with her skills in social media, will be assisting in promoting this podcast. She'll be joining Mr. Richard Coulomb, who has graciously agreed to review this podcast. Thank you, Richard, for your hard work, and welcome Heather to the team. If you have any questions or concerns, I can be reached by email at peter.doherty@gmail.com. That's peter.doherty@gmail.com. God bless, and wishing you the best.